So I'm flicking on the channels for the Olympics, right? And me and my brother are watching, and we're both very excited because women's pole vault, where are you, women's pole vault? There's a Greek girl, Katerina, that I've been waiting to see for 4 years on women's pole vault. Women's pole vault is, I'm not sure if the audience knows, it's not judged on how high you are, it's how hot you are. So
absolutely.
We're waiting, and then I realized track and field's week two because the Olympics is every 4 years and you forget, right? So flicking the channels, and I pop on, there's so many random things in the Olympics, right? Fencing. Now, I know it's in France, and I think French, the fences are French or something like that, but there's no way these people, Dean, spend their life mastering fencing. I'm sorry, I just could not get behind it.
You know what's baffling to me is like, what are they doing the other 4 years? Like, how are they making money? Like, who's actually, like, how much are you getting paid as a fencer?
I don't know, bro.
That's yeah, crazy.
You could probably get money building fences, but not fencing.
I wouldn't have thought, man.
No, so it got me thinking, like, because this year there's skating in the Olympics, I believe. Rock climbing, I've never seen before. There was rock climbing. Indonesians are good at rock climbing, guys. And then maybe, how long will it take AFL to get into the Olympics?
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, why not make like a smaller field version, like half the players, like an AFL Nines?
Yeah.
And just make that an Olympic sport.
It's like that game, what's the one where you
handball.
Handball, but football. And then why would it always just be Australia versus Ireland in the final every year?
And you know what? Like in the soccer, they do under, I think it's under 23s. And of that, it's kind of like the up-and-comers play. Okay. So I think to make it fair, like maybe we wouldn't put in like Bont and that. We'll just put in like at best like a Sheezal or like the best of the young players.
Yeah.
So that the other countries that have more developed men maybe have a bit of a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And then when they start talking shit, they bring in the Bont and the Crips.
Yeah, like USA did with the basketball. Yeah, that's like, right. You know what? LeBron, Steph Curry, let's go.
Put on the greats. Yeah, so that the Olympics had me thinking about whether AFL will ever be a international sport like they tried a couple of years ago with that game in China that no one watched.
True, yeah, man. That seems like forever.
How long ago? That happened? Yeah, it was as long as the Olympics, I guess.
Jeez.
Now, I've got a confession.
Go, man. It's a safe space. Go on.
I left the Carlton game early on Friday night.
Oh.
So I went.
Wow.
I went thinking, you know what? It's been a big week. Let's get a break from the week. Let's go to watch my team dominate Port Adelaide that no one likes. And then it's a couple of minutes left in the game. And there's that controversial kind of umpiring decision where the ball got kicked in, hit the umpire's leg. I think it was a goal in the end, but from the crowd, you can't see shit. And I'm like, this is what's going to end the game for us, this umpiring decision. I'm out. Saved us about 15 minutes.
So that was the moment.
Yeah.
So you didn't even see the outcome of it properly.
It was halfway through. I'm like, this is going to be a goal. I left, bro.
Wow. Now,
to be honest, it's not a good sport to leave early, but man, it saved like 15 minutes on the way home. So I encourage anyone to leave the game early. I found that actually it's quite helpful.
Man, I'll never forget. I'm not a leave early guy. Like me and Mats are notorious for like watching Josh Bruce kick his like 10th goal while we're down 100. Like we'll still stay
rolling
there, right?
With all the punches.
We just take it like men, right?
Yeah.
But I do that because one time I was at a Melbourne Victory game and we're playing Brisbane Roar and it was 0-0, like the dirtiest, most boring game you've ever watched.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, you know what? Let's just get out of here. It's the 90th minute. What's the point? 91st minute, as I'm outside the stadium, I hear a roar. Yeah. I see the replay later, free kick top corner.
Wow.
So I missed the game-winning moment right at the end. That was probably like soccer, anything can happen. That was stupid of me.
Yeah, soccer, you only need one score.
But
right?
Footy, you kind of know when it's over. Look, man, I don't know. I'm watching this game and I'm just seeing two teams. One team that's like ferociously tackling. Like at the end, it's gone on the highlights reel. Like Bergman just ferociously chasing down like three blocks in one play.
Yeah.
And Carlton, like, it's not like you didn't bring the fight for the most of the game. It's just like when the heat was turned up, at a certain point, you just couldn't go with them.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, right? We were talking before the game and I was saying that I was a little bit nervous about this game, not because it's Port as an opposition, but because there seems to be this narrative that we're tired. Now, up against North Melbourne, we had a couple injured bodies. Tom De Koning's out for the home and away season. Akers didn't make his fitness test. I'm sure there's a lot of other blokes that aren't right. Like, I reckon they haven't said anything, but Sam Walsh looks like he's a bit hampered. Mm. And it's a 5-day break, and you just see the narrative building shit. I just feel like it could get the best of us. And then, after the game finished, Facebook and Instagram, they make a post, you know, Carlton Football Club, and it says, the caption from the Carlton Football Club was, ran out of legs. And it's like they're telling us, like it's so typical Carlton. They're almost feeding us the information, their excuse.
Yeah.
And you could just see it kind of become happening throughout the week. And I'm just disappointed. I get that North came to play, but the season's on the line for us. I'm not sitting there judging the boys saying, run harder, you're weak. I'm not saying any of that because we don't know what's going on. But to give up second position and be left in the pack now with other teams finding form, to give up a 30-point lead in the second quarter, it just can't happen, man. It's just if you're thinking flags, it just can't happen. And I think we've lost three out of the last four now. Only North is the victory, and even that wasn't convincing last week.
Right, yeah.
Carlton's doing a bit of an Essendon where they've peaked at the wrong time.
Mm.
And as a supporter, I'm looking at this team and I'm finding flaws everywhere, but no solutions.
Yeah.
And you know, Voss tried a couple of different things. Harry Mackay was laid out, so Lewis Young came in, like he's our saviour. But the thing that frustrated me the most about this game was the fact that we're behind and we score one goal in the second half, by the way, and we're just kicking it down the line to a non-target.
I'll tell you who your target was, Alirelia.
Alirelia. I don't know what he was doing. Was he playing mind games or something? I'm wearing a Carlton jersey. He wasn't. And just no dare, no intention to change the way that they were playing. And it's just, we're watching that and the crowd was feral, man. The crowd was like, do something else. Spread the play. Everyone else knows what to do except for the Carlton fans, the Carlton players who either, they just gave up. It's like, we're not going to win this game by running.
Mm. There was so many moments towards the end of that game where you could tell at this point the game's gone and their heads are gone because there was opportunity to lower the eyes and at least try and kick it to an advantage of your forward.
Yeah.
And it was like not even going to look, bomb it. And Alirelia didn't even have to try to intercept the ball at the end.
We had Matt Owies, who's like the worst aerialist in the world, as full forward for most of the game.
Yeah,
Kerno tried his heart out, but he needed to be kicking to himself.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's tough. Like in the beginning, I can understand it because you've lost a key figure in your structure, forward of the ball. And like, okay, Port sprung the pressure because they knew that if they pressured you, you wouldn't be able to lower the eyes. Mm. So like it kind of just was a domino effect.
Yeah.
My only thing with the Blues right now is September hasn't even started yet. And the narrative of you're a bit banged up and you're tired, like I believe it. It's a long season and you do have a couple injuries to some key players, whether it's a long term or a short term. But what happens in September when every team that's making the eight is going to be in form because you're not making it unless you're in form?
Well, I agree with that. And it's actually a scary proposition. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to play finals. I just don't, there's no way we miss out, right? But we could be seventh. Seventh is not second, man.
Well, and who are you playing in this current form? Like, say you make it in just because you'll win a couple of your next four. Hawthorn, Dogs, like any Giant. Of these team Giants, like any of them can beat anyone and you can beat them too, but you wouldn't be the most informed team of them because you've come from the top two down rather than making it in.
That's right. And the thing is, like Carlton is still either one of the best or the best turnover team in the comp, which you wouldn't associate with them, but they're getting smashed in the clearances. And I just think it's one of those things where if you stop Cripps and Walsh, they have got no other answers. Mm. And I don't know what exactly strategically is going on in the midfield, but coaches have found us out. And Walsh and Cripps are getting caught for holding the ball non-stop. Mm. And that's probably them trying to do too much or not having options. And every other team seems to be able to beat us in the midfield at the moment.
What it might be is, as good as Walsh and Cripps are, their main strength isn't that couple metre dash and burst. Like a Lockie Neal will have that, or like even like an LDU, Treloar. Like these guys are a bit quicker than those guys. But they're obviously quicker. They make up for it in other ways. So it can't be that simple.
No.
I think they're just, like teams are really placing an emphasis on making it as miserable as possible in the middle because they know that if they do that, they'll have a good chance of slowing you down. And the ball, I think it all comes from the fact that people want to slow down Carlton getting it in the 50. Because when you get it in there with pace,
we just get a free kick.
No one can stop you. Yeah. It's either a free kick or a goal just from genuine mark.
Yeah, that's
it. You know, so,
There's a couple. I'm not super doom and gloom about it because at the end of the day, like Port played their heart out. They should have won by more because they missed a lot of opportunities. But we played like shit, kicked one goal in the second half and we're still in it up to about 3 minutes left in the game.
Mm.
Like we're still hard to beat, right? And so they've got a couple of weeks to turn it around. It's just that the fact that if we don't get second spot, which it doesn't look like we're going to get anymore, we're going to finals with a disadvantage. where we could have had a home final against someone like a Frio or a Brisbane, where they're a way easier proposition than they would be at home. So we just made our grand final chances a lot more difficult. But at the end of the day, if we're not winning games, we don't really deserve to be that spot anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's completely wild to me. I'm obsessed with the ladder at the moment, like everyone else is. And I don't know. I just feel like any team in there, like I look at Carlton as a really hard to beat team.
Yeah.
And I think you can still do something in September, but it's not the right time of year to not be showing your best self.
Yeah, I agree.
And you still got four, like there is still a month to go.
Mm.
Like all of August will be very telling.
Yeah.
You could very easily win the next four and look more like yourselves, and then all of a sudden it's all good.
That's right.
So we'll wait and see a little bit, but you know, Port don't usually play Marvel too well. So it's kind of like that game where you'd expect to win. Now, in saying that, I don't know if you guys play it too well either, because you've lost a few there. And
you won. I think we're all right. Actually, funny enough, you say that about Port, but they've actually won a lot of their last games at Marvel, which was surprising to me when I heard that. Mm. I don't think they're that good, to be honest, as a team, but they played with a lot of intensity.
And let's talk about them for a moment. And you were there, so you can say more, but I initially saw Radu Galea up forward and I thought, Ken's lost the plot.
Yeah.
What the hell's he on about? And then I thought to myself, no, actually, it's because Mackay's out.
Yeah.
And what's the point of him being back there? And it turns out he was right. But he actually showed some craft. Like, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did. He did. He kicked some nice goals. I think he started a bit slow, but it really built into the game. And yeah, he's just like a tough, big body.
Mm.
And, you know, I think Wiedering is our key defender. But if he's taken away by Dixon, like, he smashed Dixon, but Dixon basically played the role where, all right, I'm just going to sacrifice my game. And Georgiadis is their most telling forward. And he's an accurate set shot. Mm. And you put another big body like Radu Galea in there to compensate from Todd Marshall not being there. And it looks pretty damaging. But also, if they win, they smash us in the clearance, like doubled us in the clearance port. So they're just getting the ball in freely. You can't, a weight of numbers, right? Eventually, they're just going to break through.
Mm.
So, look, it was a good win from Port in a hostile crowd, and it keeps their season alive. So, just, yeah, from a Carlton perspective, a bit disappointing, but we'll see what happens.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like you want to be in that conversation, but I'm kind of weirdly enjoying not being in the chaos as a North fan right now.
It's tough to watch, man. Like, I don't know if there's a conversation. Carlton has been one of the better teams throughout the year, and we've held that kind of top two spot for a little while now, and certainly the top four spot for a while. Sydney as well, which we'll get to eventually, has been the number one team all year, but they've struggled a bit now. And then you've got other teams like the Dogs who are firing, GWS starting to fire, Brisbane starting to fire. So you can kind of see it's taken a long time to kind of see the teams that are starting to make their play as genuine contenders.
Yeah.
And it's probably not the ones we'd expect mid-season. But it's just how you enter the final series, really.
Mm.
And teams like Sydney, who I still expect to be the best team, Carlton, Essendon, are the teams that are kind of failing a little bit now. So, yeah, it's interesting to see who gets there. And with the Hawks and the Bulldogs' big wins, well, it's making it pretty close, isn't it?
We'll talk about it later, but mathematically, the Hawks can make top four very easily.
Yeah, it's crazy,
it's
man.
It's actually crazy. Anyway, we'll get there. But so, next game being North, right? And firstly, I just want to address George, a non-North tipper, didn't even tip North against Gold Coast, famously.
Famously.
Apparently tips, tips North to beat Geelong. Tell me about that before I even get started.
Well, first of all, I'm second in my tipping competition, right? But five below the leader.
So it was a pod pick.
It was one of those ones where it's like, all right, I ain't going to win this competition unless I do something crazy. North's been playing good football. All the talk last week from Carlton, like Paddy Cripps and stuff, was like, oh, North actually really hard to beat. They really put up a challenge. Mm. I'm thinking, all right, Geelong's midfield sucks, right? North is playing tough football. They're at Blundstone Arena. Anything could happen. But Geelong, and I can't get a read on Geelong. Like, they're always up. They've been up there all year, and I still don't think they're that good. But they were clearly too classy for you guys in the end.
They're not that good, but you're right. They're the kind of team that I think are one of the last kind of teams North will beat when we do make our rise up the ladder. And I'll tell you why. Because if anything, Geelong has always been a well set up team with high IQ defenders.
Yeah.
And even if they're not winning the ball out of the middle, they don't let you win it too cleanly most of the time.
Yep.
So the whole story of the game really was we should have done a better job of nullifying Tom Stewart.
Yep.
And it's one of those ones where like Dermy and the lads are just constantly pointing out how open Tom Stewart is. And then lo and behold, we'll kick it to him and they're like, see, I told you.
Why can't Clarko see this?
Exactly. Who's Clarko putting to him? So it was one of those ones, right? But Look, plenty of positives, as there has been with most North games since the bye, besides the Sydney game, where we were just trash and Sydney had a lot to play for. Every other game, we've had more positives than negatives, I'd say.
Yeah,
and this game was no different. Firstly, can we just say Harry Sheasel, man? There's almost not much left to say, but I'm going to say one more thing, which is starting to get some whispers in the media. All Australian.
I think guaranteed, man.
Like, the only reason, the only argument you can give is you don't want to give spots to a player on a team in the bottom three.
Now, I've never liked that argument, by the way.
I would argue him changing position and kicking goals from midfield is a skillful and thing deserving of reward, no matter where your team is on the ladder.
Yeah,
it's a hard thing to do.
I agree with that. The only problem, like, I think Sheasel is worthy of All-Australian. Where would you put him, though? Because he's not going to get a follower spot and he's not going to get a midfield spot.
Sneak him in the half forward. Or the bench.
I think the bench.
That's all right. Yeah, that's fine.
But I think he makes it.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's crazy how he does it, because you see other players on a team, like even LDU, you know, he explodes out of the pack, right? He can ride a tackle, he can handball. Like Sheasel, somehow, despite in his underage year before he got drafted, pretty much having no impact on the ball. And he would play on ball, but like he'd always just get the highlights when he's in the forward 50.
Right.
Somehow he's just become this clearance specialist.
Yeah. Well, look, I watched him very closely because I had him vice captain Supercoach, right?
Good choice.
And yeah, Matt always talks about the lightning hands, but he's cleanly. I don't think he made a mistake by hand or by foot the whole game.
It's crazy.
And it was one of those games where it was clear to me that Geelong was just the classier team. Mm. They just made things happen when they need to. North Melbourne did like fumbles on Aiden Corr, fumbles on the goal, those type of things like that, right?
Yeah.
But Sheasel was the one guy in your North team that just, when he had the ball, things happened.
Mm.
And like, even like Georgie Wardlaw played tough, LDU played tough, but they don't have the class by foot that Sheasel has.
Yep.
And it kind of made the joke like halfway through the game where if they just gave Sheasel the ball and shepherded him to the goal line, you just win every play. Like, just give this guy the ball. Just so clean, had space, had time. But he, to me, he was a bit of the standout with Sherry as the two men that were trying to carry the team along the line. Then you had someone like Tyson Stengel who just made three goal opportunities that weren't even, shouldn't have even been goals, a goal. And then, you know, how do you fight something like that when you have to work so hard for a goal and this guy just kicks it like taking the piss?
Yeah, and this is the story out of the game from North's point of view, and even Clarko in his press conference, was the end of that third quarter, which, considering how the first half went, I was stunned with that we brought it back to 10 points because we actually just started taking the game on. We got momentum, kicked a few in a row. Dersma got subbed on, kicked one, bit of a G-up.
Mm.
And then with a couple minutes to go in the quarter, somehow we've gone from 10 points, it ballooned back out to 30 because they kicked three goals. And like you said, it was Stengel, quick snap, dribbled in. Ridiculous snap almost from the boundary, bent it in.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And then the clearance, like Dangerfield contested Mark.
Mm.
It's like, man, as a North fan, I was just sitting there like, far out. We work so hard to work it back. And from here, you never know. Like, if it goes 10 points into the last quarter, you can't rule anything out. But when it ballooned back out with three goals at the end, that just kind of says it all about North at the moment. We'll play really well, but the scoreboard won't reflect how well we're playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys like Dempsey, you mentioned that one on the line. Like, he just steals it from Aiden Corr. Just stupid,
right?
Where
do they find kids like this, man? I'm sick of them getting blonde-haired kind of value picks.
I was telling my wife, watching the game, like, I can't stand Geelong because all their players look like, if you went to Geelong, they just pluck some guy from the street that looked like 6 foot plus. Yeah, come
play
for us.
You play footy, mate.
You play footy, and it just works.
Yeah.
But no, good on Geelong. Look, I guess teams that are better than North, like in the top eight, should be winning by about this margin.
Yeah.
It's about a goal and a half per quarter better than North. Makes sense. I don't have this unrealistic expectation to beat them. But in saying that, when you're within 10 points and the third quarter is almost up, I was kind of thinking, far out. We do lack the polish. We lack that killer instinct to actually just ruthlessly end the game.
Yeah, of course.
I strongly believe that'll happen at some point. The flick will just switch like it has with Hawthorn. And I think we'll just suddenly become a winning team. Couldn't tell you when, though. Probably next year.
Yeah.
But I think it's exciting for North. And despite, like, Charlie Common forward two games in a row now, as the key forwards do, floats in and out of games, but he took another specky. Like, he creates a context.
Yeah.
Wardlaw is just that crash and bash. Sheasel's the class. LDU brings something else. Like, there's a good mix in there. My one thing I wanted to bring up, actually, just quickly, was North's got a few free agents coming up, right? Zerha, one of them. By all accounts, will keep him. Another one that I listen to in a lot of North pods is Bailey Scott. I don't know your opinions of him, but me personally, he's finished top three or five in our best and fairest at the end of the year for a couple of years in a row now.
Right, I didn't know that.
I strongly believe that's just due to the fact that we've been a really poor side. And if anything, being a winger, he's pretty consistent. And he's a fit guy, like he can run all day. But there's heaps of North fans saying, we can't get rid of this guy. You know, he's finished top three in our Sid Barker. You know, we've developed him, so on and so forth. I just want to say one thing to North fans. We need ceiling raises. This guy has no skill. And if you need to be a bit ruthless with your list build, otherwise you're just carrying guys like Bailey Scott. And look, if we keep him, I'm not against him. I'm just saying if we draft someone or recruit someone better than him, that's for the better of North Melbourne Football Club.
That's right.
So we shouldn't look at him like, give him the years he wants, give him the money he wants. We can't lose him. If he leaves, he leaves. Like Ben McKay left. I don't think any North fans saying, man, if we had Ben McKay, we would have won a few more games.
No, I think Essendon fans are saying, get rid of this guy.
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm just sort of preaching more to North fans. Like the draft's coming up. We have a top three pick. They're all mids at the top of the draft. We're going to get one of them. Don't be upset about it because we've got LDU, Shears or Wardlaw. Phillips isn't good enough right now. No. Tom Powell is good, but he's actually pretty good around the ground. We don't need to play him on ball. If we draft one of the top three mids of the draft and he's the next Butters or Walsh or whatever, be happy that it kicks out Will Phillips. And I love Will Phillips. Yeah. But if it kicks out Bailey Scott, be happy. Because we need to go places, man. We can't carry passengers.
No, I agree with that. And I think you look at what you can get, right? I think to rebuild with a bit of velocity, you need to get rid of some of these kind of mid-tier players to give you really high-skilled players. And look, he runs hard. Everyone needs like those players that run hard and compete and are tough and a stronger body that stops the young, it protects the young kids. But I don't... Yeah, if it wants to go, let him go, man. It's not...
Yeah. And
he's not one of those guys that you need to sweat about.
No, and you shouldn't be afraid to upgrade your own players if it's for the better of the team. Yep. That's my only message. So, can you talk about the Olympics for 1 second? I just realized I forgot my phone in the other room.
Okay.
And the rest of the games are coming up, and I don't know as much
about it. No worries, I'll talk about the Olympics. What was with that opening ceremony, man? No, I don't know what the French people are smoking, mate, but that was some weird shit, and it's been taken... Like not a lot of people, like bad reviews. Like we don't get bad reviews or good reviews on this pod, but they got some seriously bad reviews. Opening ceremony.
You know, I didn't watch it, but I've seen some clips about it and stuff. Like there was something about like making a joke of the Last Supper or something, and I'm just like,
yeah.
Is that what it was? Because if so, like
there was something like that. I think they were all trans or something. People, okay. But they were in like the Last Supper portrait. They were sitting like that.
Mm.
I didn't watch the ceremony. I just saw the highlights, but.
Yeah. I just think with these opening ceremonies, just get whichever artist is killing it at the time and just do something that's French. Like, celebrate your culture to the world. All the countries come in and that's it. Why are you overthinking it?
I don't know. I was actually thinking, like, what would I do as an opening ceremony? And I've never actually seen a full one, so I don't know what they're like. I would find them boring. Like, even if I was creating, I'm like, man, this shit sucks, to be honest with you. Like, who sits there and watches 3 hours of an opening ceremony?
Well, you basically just have to wait for every country to just march in.
Yeah. Greece is still first, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo bared the flag.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. Big
what
moment.
What a big dog.
Yeah, massive dog. Yeah, thanks for stalling me out there, Georgie.
No worries.
I forgot my phone. But all right, so next game. Man, I'm so sick of talking about Gold Coast. Can we just like skip this game?
Look, wait, let's just do a quick. Right, Gold Coast have the home thing is broken.
It always was. Like, it was going to get broken. Clash, but they've won one out of like what 12. It's a joke, man.
Well, did you say Hipwood was playing defense? Because like there's like six Lions defenders out, and Ben King and Lukosius need to go to kicking school.
But Lukosius was meant to be a good kick, wasn't he?
He's meant to be the best kick ever. And he does have like a cool style of kicking and he can like toe poke at 60 metres. But yeah, he's too good to be missing goals. And they needed to take all their opportunities. They needed to capitalise on some midfield dominance throughout the game. Like the Lions mid got on top eventually, right? But yeah, they just overwhelmed them.
I'm pretty sure we were promised by Damien Hardwick that this list is pretty much done.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the list... On the stats, right? And Raoul has been really down on form. He had an okay game. Flanders is just dominating. That guy's, he's promised and delivered. But without like Tuk Miller, you know, you just got a lot of these players that are just battling. But then you look on the other side of the sheet and it's like McCluckey just kicking goals, Neil's kicking goals, Dunkley's firing, Zorko's firing. And it just, it just looks like one team's kind of tripping towards the finish line and the other one's getting their gear sorted and going hard. So
it's actually crazy to me how if Gold Coast just won like three away games,
they'd be in the
they would be comfortably in the eight right
they
now.
They should actually be playing finals. They should be playing finals.
But it, like, how does that happen where like you lose to North? Okay, North turned a bit of a corner, so maybe that wasn't an easy game. But like, there's a handful of these games that like the Saints won. Yeah. I know they were a bit robbed in that. Like, there's been a bit of unfortunate circumstance, but if they just win two or three, they are actually in the finals hunt. So like, I'm hesitant to shit on them too much, but at the same time, I'm not surprised, and I don't look at them like a finals team. I never have.
No, I can't. I picked them to be in the finals this year because I thought, you know, new coach, a lot of talent, you know, it's their year to start pushing. Really dominant midfield, but their midfield isn't dominating at the moment.
No.
And that's kind of their main driving force. They've got good players everywhere. They're going to be very good in years to come because they've got a lot of high draft picks that are showing promise. But yeah, it's just a bit uninspiring from them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. On the flip side, Brisbane just gone from like 10 weeks ago, they've got no chance of making finals to a lock for the top four.
How many times did we write them out before they've come? Now they're second.
Look, those were the pods that I wasn't on, and you guys were rightfully harsh on them. I would have been the same.
Yeah.
But guys like Kai Lohman, Reina's been a bit better lately. Like, their ground level in the forward line's been better, and Danaher and Hippold have stepped up.
That's right.
So, like, as a forward 50 unit, they've become scarier again, even without Charlie Cameron playing that well.
Yeah. And he's got other gears to go to.
Correct. And Bailey's just come back now into form.
Yeah.
So, forward of the ball, they're really good. Their defense, I know they've held Gold Coast to 65 points, but there are a lot of outs. Like you just said, Hippold's playing there, covering a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. If they come up against a really strong attacking team, I think that'll be the difference in the finals. But
yeah.
Nothing but impressed by the way they've recovered this season.
Yeah, look, it shows that you're never quite out of it. Last year, it seemed like they were primed for the flag and that was their year. It'd be funny if they won it this year after having like a really up and down season. They didn't lose one game at home all of last year. They didn't win the flag. Now, they're second on the ladder and kind of not really convincing second given the way that they've gone about it. And yet, they still probably could be considered the favourite now.
That's crazy.
Just because it's so even compared to what it was last year. And last year was even as well.
So, if they do get the home final, that means it's Gabba Gabba, right? And then MCG if they win both.
It means Gabba Gabba, yeah.
Now, they haven't been unstoppable like the Gabba this year, but nonetheless.
Not as fearsome, but yeah.
It will be in the finals.
It makes a difference. It's better than going to the G or Optus.
I'll tell you this now. Like, I don't even think this is a hot take right now, but I think any team that ends up making the eight can win the flag. And if anything, I wouldn't be... Like, I'd actually be expecting a team in the bottom half of the eight to have like an equal amount of chance as the top. I don't even think it's like...
Yeah.
Higher percent of the top.
Well, anymore. I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think if some of the teams that we think are going to make it, like I think the Bulldogs will make it now. Like, let's say Bulldogs finish seventh, I'd be scared to go up again, even if I was in top four.
We'll talk about, did you see Liam Jones just flying for every ball today? Meanwhile, Lobb's just there just in case. Like, are you kidding me?
Look, anyway, man, we'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll get to them. Well, let's just get over Gold Coast. Let's go to Essendon because I know you have some things to say.
I'm so excited to talk about this game. It's actually hilarious. Like, North loses not long after this game starts, and a sick part of me like wanted Saints to win this game more than I wanted North to beat Geelong.
Yeah, that is a sick part of you.
It's sick of me, but like I'm just being an honest guy right now.
Yeah,
it was there. I'm acknowledging it. Now, all I have to say, and I'm not even going to talk about the Bombers. You know, I don't rate their team and so on. Like, I actually think they've got a lot of exciting players. I quite like Caldwell and Durham and Caddy and a lot of these guys.
Yep.
All I have to say is the political rubbish that Brad Scott spews week after week is so hilarious to me.
I actually didn't catch what he said this week.
The funny part is, man, I had no intention of hearing his comments after the game, but it came up on my YouTube recommended because last week I searched up Brad Scott press conference because I wanted to hear it.
The algorithm has sorted you out.
The algorithm fixed me up big time. So thank you, YouTube algorithm, right? Now, basically he said the effort was third rate.
Yeah.
Which it was. And one of the... So he's talking about that for a while and like that hasn't been us all year, but it was, you know. And then one of the reporters, I don't know who it was, but like credit to you. He actually said like at this time of the year with finals being so competitive, like why something along the lines of why should you need to tell your team to give more effort? why is it third rate effort, basically?
Yeah.
And then I can't remember Scott's response exactly, but like he backtracked so much of like, well, it's only margins and like, you don't need to be far off for this to happen. It's like, actually, Brad, you don't lose by 50 points by being this much off.
No.
You lose by 50 points when you get outplayed massively in every facet of the game.
Yeah.
Right? So that was just so hilarious to me, man.
Look, I feel sorry for Essendon fans, man. Because what there's some Essendon podcast, I don't know the name of it, but it's been popping up on my feed because I, like you, searched for Essendon when they had lost to Carlton. I was interested to see what they had said, right?
Just enjoy the, and this one the pops tears.
Up. And the YouTube, like the comments on the Essendon phone is like optimistic. Yeah, I think if we play our game, we can get them. This is like the preview to come to Carlton. Now it's like, you know, what were we thinking? Like, and it's like, of course, Essendon fans are going to be optimistic when they're up in the top four and they're winning games, right? But to see them, I after they versus Carlton, I got a good look at them and I said, I think they'll make the eight. They still got some threats. I still didn't expect them to kind of capitulate like this. They are not making finals. I don't want to hear finals. They've got a tough run home. And now there's other teams that are way ahead of them. I think Essendon's, what are they, 10th now?
They've fallen, yeah. They're out of the eight.
They're 10th, bro.
Well, here's the thing, man. Like, we looked at their fixture and at that point, I think it was 6 weeks to go. And there was these two easy games and then it got hard.
Mm.
And we were like, oh, maybe just because of the easy games, they'll just be too far ahead and they'll make it.
Yeah.
They've blown it before it's even started.
Yeah.
And the couple more things I wanted to mention, right, was during the week, and this is, I don't really feel sorry for Essendon in totality. I do feel sorry for some of their more realistic fans, but someone like Brad Scott, I do not feel sorry for, right? Because all year, and I've called this out multiple times, they're talking about learning lessons from last year and specifically how the season ended, right? Everyone's saying it. Merritt saying it, Brad Scott saying it, random player getting interviewed saying it. And you're like, okay, let's wait and see, right? Now, the same exact thing's happening. They're falling and it's not pretty. It's not even like close games, right?
This was like the equivalent of the GWS kind of loss.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And GWS was a good side that was on the rise and pumped them by 100, right?
Yeah.
This is like 50 to St Kilda, so it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, what did I say last week was Brad Scott blamed the players. Like he basically said it was lack of execution.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with the setup, basically.
Yeah.
Now, during the week, they were saying, and he said, we've reviewed the tape in gory, that was the word, gory detail.
Yeah.
So the way I'm looking at it is, if the structure's all good, what are you actually reviewing? Are you just playing all their mess ups, all the players' stuff ups, and just that's the gory detail of like, hey, you fumbled it. Like basically calling out all your players. Mm. And if so, Bombers fans should not be surprised that their team looked like they had no confidence. Like, is this the way he's going to coach? Is like, you guys messed up. Let's watch the footage of you messing up all week.
I have no idea, but what I... To criticize Scott, I think is easy this week because the Saints came in with the game plan and the Saints have been playing better football. I don't know why it's taken them this long to get their shit together.
True.
But they played a bit of like a mark kick type of game and their aerial dominance over Essendon was laughable.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had players like Cooper Sharman that no one's ever heard of play the game of his life. I was watching the third quarter and the commentators were saying that Cooper Sharman had more marks than the whole Essendon team in the third quarter.
Mm.
Like, it's literally just their mark kicking their whole way to the goal. And these are marks not just uncontested. There was like in the contest marks,
yep.
1v1 marks.
Even 1v2 the other way, they were marking a few.
That's right. And like all these players that we've been waiting to see something from this year, like Owens, who had a great year last year, came back into form. Membry, last couple of weeks. It just everyone's finding a way to kick goals, and then they start taking the piss. Like Jack Steele kicks 3 goals in a quarter just from nothing.
Yep.
And
Matza's boy, shout out Matza.
Matza's boy, and it's like, when is the coaching change up going to happen? Like, how can you just let a team walk it? Like, surely there's some measures. I don't know. But well,
that's my greater point. Is according to Brad Scott, it's the players not executing. So I don't think he's taking responsibility for what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it out. One other thing I want to call out, because I'm not done, is Dyson Heppel getting dropped last week and then back into the team this week. The comments coming out was from Brad Scott that it was one of the hardest discussions he's ever had to have with dropping Dyson Heppel. Now, I don't watch the Bombers close enough to know whether he deserved to be dropped or not.
Hmm.
All I do know is that he's a leader of the club and you're trying to make a finals push. And I don't look around and seeing Scott Pendlebury getting dropped or Sidebottom getting dropped or some of these other really experienced players getting dropped. So I think, again, this is just Brad Scott all over again, because I saw it with North. That one off season, we get rid of Brent Harvey, we get rid of Del Sano, Petrie, Farida, all in one clean swoop.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just think this guy just has a thing with like the older players. Instead of respecting what they bring to the table and their structure and their organization and leadership, it's like, we need this imaginary younger player that's going to be better because he's faster or whatever. Like, sometimes your positioning means you're always in the right spot, regardless of how fast you are.
Yeah, of course.
And then he brings him back in. And again, I don't know if that was the right move, but like, I just see a lot of like consistent mistakes and no accountability, and it's not going to lead to any success for the Bombers, no matter how good your team is.
What direction do they take next week? Like, are they even clear what went wrong?
Well, here's the thing. As far as I see, the Saints are walking the ball out of their defensive 50 because they've got Caddy, Langford, Peter Wright, and a couple other taller guys, like Draper will rest forward. Like, things will just tell you, like logic will tell you, play some faster pressure forwards so you can keep the ball in your forward 50 a bit better. And you're still getting outmarked, which is the hilarious thing.
Yeah, the outmarking was crazy. I hadn't seen anything like it in a long time.
Anyway.
I was just thinking when I was watching that game, because it was clear that Saints were going to win, I was just looking at Kyle Langford and his expressions, because I remember Kyle Langford said last year, I've got to have some serious chance with Scott because, you know, the end of this season doesn't make any sense. What's he going to say to Scott now when they've realised that, you know, it's all falling apart again?
Yep. I don't know, man, but I just think the Bombers need to be realistic for once and not just say, yeah, we're rebuilding or we're trying to make a finals push. Just actually just don't talk at all. Just try your best, structure up, play tougher, and just let the results fall as they may. But you talk in one way and then you deliver the other way and you dig your own grave.
Mm.
And I feel sorry for the Bombers fans in that regard, because it's not them talking and they're not delivering. They're just trying to enjoy their team win.
That's right.
And they get excited when they win, even if it was against weaker opposition and whatnot. But, you know, Saints, 100% credit. I think I truly believe they did it for Chris Michaels. Congrats, Chris, on his wedding.
Congrats, Chris.
Awesome display. Like you said, man, though, where has this been all year?
Yeah.
It's a shame, but at least if they finish the season like this, like the fans can look excited towards next year and have something to play for. So,
there's a shell of a team there that can do something. Mm. But yeah, look, the competition's so even, as we said, and where they see it and how they can make a rise next year, I'm not sure. But yeah, if they keep playing football like that, well, they just dominated though. Like, they just looked amazing. Everyone looked amazing, but that could just be because Essendon's pressure was half Saints. And also, you can't pressure an opposition that keeps marking the ball. It's not like you can tackle someone that's just marked it. So, man, it was crazy.
Yeah, not to like harp on about the marks, but like, man, contested marks, 16 to 5, inside 50 marks, 20 to 7. And for the game, they had like 49 more marks. That's crazy.
It's insane, man. Cooper Sharman, one player, had more marks than the whole Essendon team for the third quarter.
And this isn't a guy like known for doing this every now
it's
and again.
It's not Jack Rewell, bro. Look, to be fair to Cooper Sharman, I don't know much about him, but he has been playing good football the last couple of weeks. I feel like he's gone into the forward line and given a bit of an impact. Mm. So good on him. But yeah, like, if you're getting destroyed by this guy that no one even has heard of before, you've got to reevaluate how you're playing.
100%. Next game, Melbourne GWS. Now, I wasn't watching this game, I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
I was just tracking the score. It looked like a pretty predictable outcome was ready to be had. And then I look up again and I see that Melbourne's destroying almost snatched
them.
It.
Yeah. Well, Melbourne destroyed them at the start, right?
Yeah.
And then the Giants had to find a way to work it back. And I was praying and hoping that Melbourne could find a way to win it for the Carlton perspective of keeping the Giants out of it.
Of course.
And look, credit to Melbourne, like they play pretty tough football. Because Petrarca's not there and Oliver's not the same player and they lost Brayshaw last year, I kind of just see them as a bit of a wounded team. But there are some pretty strong contributors to this team and they still play pretty tough football. And with Max Gawn back this week, you know, they played pretty well. But the Giants are one of the informed teams that over the last 4 weeks, their scoring has gone through the roof. Like, I think they were averaging something like 60 points for a while. Now they're all in the 90 points scoring range. So they've jumped up massively. I think Toby Green's starting to play good football. Jesse Hogan's been consistent all year, but he's taken another little rise. Their small forwards are getting to work again. Tom Green's back in form. They've just got their mojo back. I don't know why they lost it.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because you look at the stats, you look at the highlights, and you watch the game, you're thinking, this all just makes sense. Like, it's, you know, Callahan's showing promise, as he does. Like, Daniels is crumbing well.
Mm.
You know, Whitfield's getting on the ball. Like, nothing about that is surprising. Yet, for a while, it was like, where is this?
Yeah.
It wasn't even just like a week or two. It's like a month or a month and a half
Yeah.
of bad form.
it was a long time. Yeah. It was a long, long time. It was half of the season they were playing bad. But yeah, they've got that manic pressure back. They've got that kind of forward handball. They've got that speed back into the game, and they're able to put on scores and find a way to work themselves back into the game. But I also think, like, from a Melbourne perspective, I don't think they're going to play finals this year. But they're a pretty good team not to play finals. Like, they're still a pretty solid team. You've got to beat them.
Well, and you have to beat them. And despite their drop-off in form, they've never not been in the finals race. Like, they've always been like a win out.
That's right.
So
I don't know what Melbourne exactly needs. I think they need a bit of a rejuvenation in their list. They have brought in some younger players. I feel like Judd McVee's had a good year. They're playing this Monitz Wakefield for the second half of the year off the half back. They've got little players that are coming up, but they still need a really genuine gun, tough forward. Van Ruin might become that in time. I think they need to replenish their midfield a little bit. Just add some spice throughout their team. I don't know what they're going to do with Oliver. He's got a really big contract. Is that something they look to offload and get some draft picks? I'm not sure exactly what, like, they line up their preseason next year. They come through round one. I'm not sure if we really expect anything different from Melbourne. But they're still a tough team. They're still there. So I don't know. My point I'm trying to make is I think they're a pretty good team not to make it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Gold Coast, I feel like, don't deserve to make it. But Melbourne have played some pretty strong football. They've had a couple of anomalies, like the two losses against Freo. But even this, like, the Giants are a pretty good team. And they started strong. Giants came back. And they still fought to the end.
Yeah.
So,
well, that kind of tells me that they have the talent. It's more just, for some reason, the motivation and the consistency is not quite there.
Yeah.
And I think the best teams just play the game on their terms and the other team has to counter them. I think Melbourne this year has, for one reason or another, become the team that needs to think about the opposition too much.
Yeah.
Because if they were playing within themselves and playing on their terms all the time, like Stephen May would be intercepting everything and like Petrarca, assuming he was fit, would be dominating and Oliver would be dominating. But it's kind of like they'll have a good quarter or two, but then the other two quarters, they really have to be conscious of the other
team. They're not playing four quarters. I don't think they're playing four quarters. No. And one thing that I think could impact that is the crowd, which we've talked about. 16,000. I know it was cold, bro. No one wants to go
Apparently,
out.
Apparently, I saw the comments of Melbourne fans like, do your research. There was transport was down. Apparently, there was reasons, right? I'm calling total cap.
Yeah, that's
that.
Cap. Because we know that Melbourne fans don't rock up.
They don't rock up. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I was at the North Melbourne game.
I've been to a Melbourne Saints game. It was like a tumbleweed was going through the ground.
And the worst thing about it, as we just mentioned, is that they have not for a second not been in the finals race. So this is the time to be like, I'm going to show up. At least get like 30,000 in there. We're not asking for much.
Yeah. Like I get it. I'm not expecting an 80,000 crowd, you know, in a cold, wet night. But 16,000, that's almost a Giants homes game. It's almost like a Giants home game.
All I know is that as a North fan, I have seen North been in the dumps for the last how long. If there's even a remote chance of us winning the game, we've got high 20s in there. Yeah. And that's just the scratching the surface of the fan base.
Yeah.
So I think it's completely poor form from Melbourne. Like, maybe that's it. Maybe if they just had a bit more of a G up from the crowd, they lose by 2 points. Maybe they win by 2 points.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, momentum is everything. The crowd backs you in. Friday night, right, Carlton's been challenged and then Port kick a goal to get them in front and it's back to the centre bounce and it's just a, come on Carlton, come on boys, like rambling around the ground, like get them up.
Yeah.
That's a support, that's a lifting hand that did absolutely fuck all, nothing, but it was an attempt.
No, 100%. Crowd plays a huge, huge impact.
How can it not?
Huge impact. So I think, look, these fans, I know it's cold. Melbourne's cold this time of year, but...
Boys, buy a thermal, man. Go to Macpac, get a thermal, get a 2-for-1 combo, put it on and go. Some thermal socks, like a scarf. Like you can actually do something about the cold.
If you have the love and passion for your team, you should be excited to go and just brave that weather for a few hours. That's my opinion. That's like I'm not speaking from a position of authority because we play at Marvel a lot and it's cooler in there.
It's insulated there.
I would still brave that weather if I really thought, you know, my team could win, and not only that, but like... there was a purpose to sort of support them and help them.
That's a game to go to.
And correct. It is.
Anyway, that's enough about them.
What have we got next?
Frio Eagles.
Weird game, bro.
Eagles were ahead at halftime. I'm thinking, please, Eagles, miracle. Please, Harley Reid.
Yeah.
I'm praying to Harley Reid to get Freo a lot. Again, for selfish reasons of Carlton keeping the top four spot.
Of course, of course.
But they were never going to win that, right? Because they won the match at the start of the year
they
where
destroyed
they
them.
Absolutely pants.
We all thought that West Coast at that time was like turned a corner, they're back. Harley's the savior.
I couldn't believe, just thinking back to that game, how much they destroyed Freo. It's a nice little full loop because Freo actually as a team have grown a lot this season.
They're kicking high scores for fun.
Yeah, it's they play forward half football. Luke Ryan, I bought him on Supercoach. I'm going to play Matt's role here for like the highest price you've ever paid, and he doesn't touch the ball, which shows they don't play that kick game anymore. They just go forward, as they should. What's the point of chipping it around? Like, and their midfield's on fire. Hayden Young has been a revelation. He's like an Ed Richards kind of move that just adds spice to their midfield, gives a different look. Sean Darcy's back, and he's just a bit of a bull. It does sacrifice Jackson's game a bit, but it's probably better for their overall team. And players like Tracy, he's coming. Like, did you remember Tabana used to play for Freo?
And this is the thing, right? Because for many years, they didn't have a key forward, and it was always just the hopes of Tabana. And no one thought he was good enough ever, right?
Yeah.
But Josh Tracy has been incredible this year.
Yeah, really, really
good. Amos is a developing player. He has his moments.
Yeah.
But I just think you're right. They're playing more of a forward 50 game. Their midfield balance is incredible now. I've got a bit of a call for you. And you tell me what you think, yeah? Bit of a Brownlow smoky. Brayshaw.
Look, really strong second half of the year. I just don't
But you just don't know how many votes he's going to steal in the first half of the year.
The way I see it is this, right? Sarong won the medal, like the showdown medal or whatever they call it. And Brayshaw had more of the ball. I just think because Sarong does a little bit more of the hard, gutsy stuff, that's what I reckon the umps look at. So I think Sarong is more likely.
Mm.
It would be interesting to see how many votes Brayshaw versus Hayden Young get.
Yeah.
I reckon they'll both be in like the 14 to 15 range.
Mm. Either way, they're doing a lot right.
Yeah.
And I didn't personally think they had it in them. But credit to them, they've kept it up. The interesting thing of the game though was, what did you make of the whole Harley Reid treatment? The booing from the fans. Secondly, the roughing up and the mini melee that broke out.
Look, Reid got 29 possessions and 10 clearances.
Mm.
Like the kid can play. He's in his first year. He's a first-year player getting 29 possessions and 10 clearances. All I could say is, like, I was watching that part and Harley Reid got the ball and they started booing him and his expression went from, like, a focus to a smile.
Mm.
And he enjoyed it. The whole crowd is booing him and he's like, yeah, baby. So, irrespective, I think they boo him because they know that it doesn't faze him and they're pissed off by it.
I would argue the more you boo him, the worse off you'll be.
Yeah.
Because there are athletes like that in all codes that feed off of that adrenaline that they get from a reaction and the attention on them.
Look, the thing about Reid, right, is we don't really understand it because we don't live in Western Australia.
Mm.
But they're a two-team town and he's like the prodigal son. He's like, or not the prodigal son, he's the hero. He's the prince that was promised, Game of Thrones reference, right? This guy is all they talk about. And whether you're West Coast or Freo, everyone knows Reid.
Oh, yeah.
So, who else to boo?
Yeah.
Who else is there? Not going to boo Yo.
And he would be the first to give it to the opposition. So, I've got no problem. And I love that he does that.
Yeah.
That they give it back to him. It's a sign of respect, firstly. But, like, if you give it, you take it. And he does take it.
He does take it, yeah.
And I'm not all for the media, like, saying that he needs to mature up and whatever. Like, that's his character. We want personalities like that in the game. Well, and he makes it interesting.
All this talk about Hawks is like, I'm allowed to be myself. Jackie Ginnivan's allowed to be himself. So Sam Mitchell's cultivating this kind of, we can be who we are.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm for it. I like a bit of that in the game. What was interesting though, the same point I've had with Harley Reid is that the media is too obsessed with him.
Yep.
I don't mind fans and opposition being obsessed with him, but Kathy or whoever her name is that does the interview, interviewed Andrew Brayshaw after the winning. She's like, who's giving more lip, you or Harley Reid? And Brayshaw didn't really want to answer the question too much.
Mm.
And so he gave like a half question. She's like, yeah, so who's giving more lip? Like she doubled down on it. And it's like, leave the kid alone. Leave Brayshaw alone. Like why is the winner of the Freo team talking about the opposition player?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Especially when they've just competed and they've run however many kilometers they run. Like it's not like you're trying to catch him out sort of thing and like say something bad about Harley, then it'll be on the back page. Like
301, why are you talking about another player?
Exactly.
When Bont wins, they don't go, oh, so you smashed Cripps, didn't you? Like, you know, it doesn't work like that. So what we'll say about West Coast is like they're probably the worst team in it. Like I still think they're worse than Richmond.
Mm.
But they still were leading at halftime. So it goes to show that, like, because it's a home, not a home crowd, because it's a derby or whatever they call it over there, you know, the pressure's on for them to perform. They gave their best effort. They just can't compete. But yeah, there's still some nice players that play for Freo. Yo is just such a beast of a footballer.
Waterman played well as well.
Waterman.
But no, look, Freo, I'm very interested to see how they go in the finals because...
I think they can make a prelim.
Well, that's the thing, right? And I don't think they'll get a home final, so they're going to have to do it tough.
Yeah.
But they have proven that they can win around the country this year when usually it's like home or nothing. So it's kind of uncharted territories for Freo in a while. Since the day they made the grand final, they haven't been this threatening.
It's crazy to think, like, at the start of the year, we would never have given Freo a top four spot.
No. We didn't have them in the eight.
Even like 6 or 7 weeks in, they started pretty well, but it's like, no. And look at them.
Interesting, man.
They've definitely weathered the season and come out on top, so good on them.
Full credit.
Collingwood Richmond. This is one of those ones that kind of like the Essendon, where they've got a tough run coming, but they had this one easy game before it that they just need to nail. And Dacos was like, look, I might just get like 18 possessions in the first quarter.
Yeah, look, when he's part of the entire chain from like defense to attack, like just for fun, unpressured, you know that it's not going to be easy for the opposition. Look, what I'll say about this game is Collingwood won, but I wasn't impressed. In saying that, they've got a lot of outs. Like, I'm not one to make excuses, but this current team they're fielding out there isn't capable of doing what they did last year. It just simply isn't, and it won't. And for that reason, it would actually be miraculous if they played finals.
It would be. From here, they've got... let me look at what
you know. I would actually be more impressed if they made finals than like for most of what they did last year. Because last year was like you could tell they had the look in their eye, the aura. This year they've got none of that, and the injuries. So like they did the job. Richmond essentially beat themselves in a lot of the game. So many like skill errors and things I'm so used to seeing North doing. But it was an underwhelming game. Like it's probably the most underwhelming Richmond Collingwood game for years.
Super boring.
Yeah.
They've got Carlton.
This is Collingwood.
Yeah. Then Sydney. Then Lions. Then Saint. No. Then Melbourne. There's no way, man.
Yeah. No. It would be kind of miraculous, like I said.
I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Carlton because they love beating us, and they play. It doesn't matter the form of the team. They play their life out against us.
Yep.
But like then Sydney, then Lions, then Melbourne. Sorry, Collingwood fans, you've had your fun.
Yeah, and that's at least they did have their fun and they pounced on their year where injuries were like...
Where everything perfectly worked for them.
Correct.
They beat GWS by 1 point. They beat Lions by 4 points. But they were the best team last year. They somehow found a way to win a flag, those bastards.
Yep.
But now go back into your hole.
Yeah, and like McStay being back, like funnily enough, when they've got all these injuries, now McStay decides to be fit and fired.
Yeah.
Bit late now, bro. Maybe next year, but... there's not much else to talk about. I mean, Richmond, they've consistently been keeping the scorelines respectable, kind of like North does. They were never going to be a threat to beat Collingwood, even with all the injuries, I don't think.
They've got to be fully fit. I think they've just got to reset, go another preseason under a new coach, get their players right, get a nice high draft pick for once.
I do have one observation on Collingwood, though, which is this. You can tell... when they're up against it, like internally, and they're feeling a bit of pressure as a team for their season, where they are, when you're watching them play and like every little thing their players do, there's high fives from like everyone.
Yeah.
It's like every time they do something remotely good, it's like that player just kicked his first goal in AFL footy. Like everyone's getting around him. Like McStay's running from full forward to go tap Darcy Moore on the back.
Yeah.
That's when you know Collingwood's in a bit of trouble internally and they're feeling it. Because they weren't doing that so obviously last year when they were winning.
That's like, you know, boys, the focus is to get around each other, do the 1%.
Correct. Yeah. So,
which means that they're not doing the 1%.
Exactly. Which means that like internally they're panicking. But
fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, this was probably the surprise of the week.
Oof.
Dog Sydney.
Man.
And like Sydney kicked a couple of late ones. Like it was way worse than 48-87. This is arguably the most informed team in the comp, the Dogs, because they've beaten Carlton, one other team, and then
Geelong
and Sydney in the last 3 weeks, and done it convincingly. This is one of those ones where we've talked about the Dogs, like, why aren't they better? They've got Jamara, they've got Norton, they've got Darcy, they've got a star-studded midfield, they've got Key, like Liam Jones has fixed their back issue, they've got players in every position. Why aren't they good? Well, they actually are now. They like really good. And for once, they've learned how to defend. And now suddenly everything's working for them. They destroyed Sydney, man. I know Sydney has some injuries as well. I don't know to how bad they are because they've got a lot of depth. I mean, when you're fielding Mills and Parker and all these people in your team, like how bad are your actual injuries? But that was just an annihilation.
The funny thing is Sydney's been getting away with bad first quarters for a while now. And recently it's kind of cost them. But the big thing I was seeing was like Sydney, they've lost a couple, but look at the combined total points they've lost by. Like, it's ridiculously low.
Really, like 1 and 2 points.
Correct. So even then, people were like, you know what? Forgive them. You know, they've had such a great year. They've lost a few games. But the slow starts is an interesting thing. And it happened again, 5 goals to none. And then the second quarter starts and Sydney kicks 2 quick goals. And you're thinking, okay, this is typical. They'll have their quarter now and it'll go into the break more or less level. And then Dogs are just like, nah. Not today.
No, they had answers for everything
and
today.
From that point where Sydney kicked 2 goals early in the second, the Dogs kicked the next 3. And then it was only a couple more Sydney goals and then another couple for the Dogs. So, like, they never let them get close.
No.
Super impressive, man. Like, Jamara on his day is unplayable.
He's kicked 4 goals 3 weeks in a row. So, he's in form. It's the time to do it. Look, I talk about it every week, but I love Ed Richards. Like, the impact this guy's had on the midfield, he's just given such a different look, man. Lob going to the back line has helped. I don't know, they're just playing as a team. They look like they're a team.
Yeah.
You can just tell that they're putting the pressure that they haven't traditionally done in stopping transition. They're winning the ball back and they're counter-punching. Treloar's in career best form. Libba's getting his form back after some injury. I don't know, man. Like, Cody Waitman has been a big conclusion last couple of weeks.
Maybe Bevo, like, throwing those darts at the wall. He's finally hit the bullseye with his positions, man.
Well, you can't criticize him at the moment, can you?
I said this weeks ago. I said, you know what? Bevo lately has been making the right calls. Like, the Lob one caught me off guard, but the Richards one, early on I saw that. I'm like, you know what? That's actually kind of genius.
I think it's the move of the year. I think it's better than Hayden Young. I think he's the perfect midfielder. And remember when, at the start of the year, he subbed Bailey Dale? Maybe he thought that Richards was the better halfback or something along those lines. Well, Bailey Dale, after that, comes in and has dominated the whole year. Richards has come into the midfield and, like, it's just a perfect move. If you're a coach and you've got a halfbacker, consider putting him in the midfield. That's the flavour of the month thing.
Well, you know what they say, the best halfbacks are actually just midfielders that can't get a spot in the midfield.
That's right.
So, you know, not surprised at all. I just wanted to call out Chad Warner, 11 disposals.
Yeah, he's had... Yeah.
Woeful.
That's kind of the knock on them still. Like, he can do some amazing things, but he hasn't been consistent throughout.
His brother, Corey, had more possessions than him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But no, well done, Dogs. Sydney, look, it's hilarious that they've fumbled massively lately and they're still clear atop because everyone else is also fumbling. So they're still going to have these home finals. The only issue for them now is they're going to be playing a team in fourth that'll either be, it could be anyone. Could be Brisbane, could be Port, could be you guys. Could be free. Like, any of these teams now won't be as scared as they were a month ago.
No, because this is the thing. Like, you're on top the whole time and every other team is looking at you and what you're doing well.
Yeah.
And after 10 weeks, they've probably figured it out. So, they know what Sydney's weaknesses are. We don't necessarily know them. I'm sure it comes from a lot of pressure, like everything. But yeah, even though they've got a star-studded team, any team like that can look vulnerable. And today, the Dogs made them look like kids. This is at the SCG. In front of like a red crowd. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Well, speaking of the crowd as well, these guys left the stadium like the entire last quarter. Embarrassing from a Sydney
fan. Traffic in Sydney is rough.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. You're first on the ladder, right? Your team's been killing it all year, giving you a game, and even when they've lost, they've been in it to the death. They deserve a bit more respect than you walking out at three-quarter time.
Yeah, three-quarter time's way too early, man.
That's poor form.
I left like 2 or 3 minutes.
Look, I'll forgive you. That you're on notice, though. But
hey, man, that's, I started the pod with the confession.
You know what? Nah, you're forgiven. I don't hold grudges.
I've sinned.
Yeah. But Sydney fans, like, unless you're all confessing.
Yeah, go to confession.
No, I'm not accepting that. Now, the last game, man.
So, we've gone super-informed Western Bulldogs to Hawthorn, who look invincible. So, I left to come here at three-quarter time and the Hawks were up and I'm like, they'll find a way to win it. And then I came and I arrived and it's 124-58. Did the Crows kick a goal in the second half?
They kicked 2 in the last quarter, but Hawks kicked 10 goals, which is more than 2. So
what in the world, bro?
Look, man, the thing with the Hawks right now is confidence through the roof. Their structure suits their players to a T. And they just are tough around the ball, but also quick on the outside. Like, they've got a really good balance. We know that their form, since they started that win streak against North Melbourne, has been that of a top four team, if not like a top two team, pretty much.
Mm.
And quite honestly, I don't care what their fixture is on the run through. I look at them when I tip now. This is a top four team I'm tipping for. Because they've earned that respect, man. I think if, like, even a Sydney, if Hawthorn snuck in a fourth and Sydney host them at the SCG, Hawthorn will not give a shit. And they'll give him a good as game as anyone could.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a huge testament to Sam Mitchell's coaching. The players have completely jumped on board, but they're also physically ready to compete. So massive credit, man.
It is. And I think it's hard for me to kind of work out what makes the Hawks good. But one thing I'm looking at is they've got 11 individual goal scorers.
Mm-hmm.
And Crows have 1, 2, 3, 5.
Mm.
More than double. That's just an even contribution.
Yeah.
And I just think that's what the Hawks are. That everyone's playing their role. There's not a lot of superstars in this team. Mm. There could be future superstars. Like, Connor McDonald had a big game. He's only in his third year, I think. He's a special player. You could tell from his first year, right? Will Day is a gun. We get that. But it's really just role players just giving their all.
Well, is this not what we should all learn, I guess? Like, we all want that key forward. Like, Carlton's got two of them. You've got these incredible targets. But I think, like, look at St Kilda as an example, right? King has been the focal point since he's got drafted.
Mm.
Yet, for some reason, they look better when he's not there. And I think the unpredictability that anyone on any day in that forward line can kick two or three is probably more important in modern football than having one forward that can kick five.
I agree with that.
So I think the Hawks, and it's like Hawthorn of old, like when they were winning the flags, yes, it was on steroids because they had Franklin, Ruffhead, Gunston in his peak, Bruce in his peak, Cirioli. But even then, it could be Franklin 3, Ruffhead 3, Gunston 2, Bruce 2, Rioli 2. Like, it still was spread.
Yeah.
And then obviously the odd day where the big boys would kick a bag. But that's the biggest danger. And I totally agree with you. You don't know who to mark. Like, if you put your better small defender on Ginnivan, then Watson will go crazy. Bruce will go crazy. Mm. So you put the better one on them, then Ginnivan goes nuts. And they're all just ready to step up, which is why they're so hard to beat.
And the other thing I like about him is the fact that last year they played a really good half and got swept away, and it's like, well, this is the potential of this team, but they can't sustain it. Now they're actually arm wrestling with teams and then blowing them away, which is a massive like leap from what they were doing.
Yep.
And you kind of think, like, I don't know if I consider Hawks like that tough of like a grunty team, but they are. Mm. And they're proven that by being able to hold Adelaide, play the game with Adelaide, then just go bam Adelaide. I don't care that you're at home in front of your home crowd. We're going to spank 10 goals on you in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Really impressive. And, you know, I think that, let's look at the ladder now that we've talked about every team.
Yep.
Hawks are 44, so percentage out of the eight.
They would have been in if Dogs didn't do a madness. They would be eighth right now.
Mm. Well, Dogs are 119 versus 104. But we've got Sydney, Brisbane, Freo, Carlton, GWS, Geelong, Port, Dogs, Hawks. I think that's... Then Essendon, Melbourne, Collingwood, Suns. Forget about those teams. So it's really Hawthorn. It's nine teams. I think it's nine teams now.
Man.
And the order is probably the crazier part, because Carlton's fourth on 48 points with 112 percentage. GWS 111. Geelong 109. Port 106. All the same.
Mm.
Like, just insane.
It's going to be crazy, man. Like, if the final started right now, Giants v Dogs, crazy game. There's a bit of history there as well. Geelong, Port Adelaide. You guys go to Sydney, Brisbane host Freo. Any of those fixtures.
Imagine trying to tip any of these games.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way. So it's really exciting. Look, I personally hope Hawthorn wins, because I like the fact that there would be like an underdog young.
But let's say Hawthorn wins it. Who out of that top eight goes? It probably depends on fixture, which I don't know. I think
maybe Geelong.
Geelong or Port.
Geelong or Giants, even for me to be. I know the Giants are on the up a little bit, but they're not a sure thing. I think even like Port. Oh, Port are suspect as well. I know they played well against you guys, but I don't know.
Port or Geelong, man. The Giants are pretty good. Carlton has an easy fixture.
Either way, like, good on them for giving themselves a shot. Like, considering the start of the season they had, it's similar to the Lions in a way, but the Lions obviously were in a grand final last year. Hawthorn was in the bottom four. Like, it's
yeah,
it's only similar as to what happened this year.
No, it's an incredible rise from the Hawks. Like, yeah. The fans must be having such a good time.
Oh, yeah. Great time.
All right.
Some even watching from Greece. You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Friends of the pod over in Greece.
Let's
do some tipping, Georgie. Yes. So, we've got no Matza here to sit on the fence. So, we've got to be pretty black and white, pretty united.
I'm happy to do that, man.
First game of the round, Doggies hosting Melbourne at Marvel Stadium.
I think you've got to go Dogs.
Got to be the Dogs. Right. In saying that, the Dogs can just do a Dogs on us.
Yeah, yeah, they could. But look, Marvel, I don't think Melbourne plays Marvel. I don't remember the last time they played Marvel.
Yeah, do they even play there at all?
No, I don't know. Do they even know how to get there?
Dogs win by default because Melbourne goes to the G by accident.
Yeah.
Next game.
Melbourne players and their fans both have traffic issues.
Bad. Eagles hosting the Suns.
The Suns getting away win? No, I'm not tipping them.
You know what? I'm with you. And you know what? Where was this energy a few weeks ago? Anyway. Yeah.
Look,
let's go Eagles.
Yeah, let's go Eagles. Ready to go 40 and done. 10 goals.
Done. Saturday, 1:45.
Oh, North Richmond.
North. Right. Hank, can I be just say real quick? The Eagles-Suns game is the second of two Friday night games.
What's that?
That's disgusting. No one's watching that shit. North in the primetime Saturday.
That's why they put it on Friday.
Primetime, baby. I will be at this game and we are going to win.
Yeah, North, yeah.
We're going to win this.
Yeah, I think you win it. Do you want to win it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no, we're not even talking draft picks. Yeah. I think
you want to win it.
Yeah. 100%, 100%. Geelong hosting the Crows. GMHBA. Not being a fortress, but I'm still going to tip them.
Yeah, go them.
Collingwood, Carlton.
Please, Carlton, man. Please.
You know what? Just because the top eight race is making me go crazy, Carlton just wins so we can really rule out Collingwood.
Yeah.
Don't let them have hope.
Oh, look, Pendlebury's 400th game, by the way.
Huge. Hey, friend of the pod.
Scotty.
Friend of the pod, Flowers. What
400
else
games is ridiculous effort, though.
That's a bouquet of flowers for Scott Pendlebury.
That's a lot. Jeez. Just lose, please.
Yeah, just lose, though. Oh, man, that changes things, actually. Jeez.
Look.
Imagine how many high fives are going to be giving each other after every play, man. That's crazy.
There's a lot of high fives. And Pendlebury, like they tactical subbed him at three-quarter time to keep him fresh. And he was dominating.
They're ready for it.
Look, I just hope Carlton wins, but I'm not really confident, to be honest with you. Collingwood always finds a way, the Dogs.
We'll go Carlton. Mackay should be back from his concussion illness.
Back.
From his concussion sickness.
Akers back. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know. Concussions. So, Mackay, Akers, hopefully a couple others.
You should be fine. You'll be right. All right, next game. Port Adelaide hosting Sydney. Does Sydney bounce? This isn't a guarantee for them anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to know what Sydney's really going to do.
I'm going to... You know what? I've just got this thing that Sydney is just sliding a little bit. I'm going to tip Port.
Yeah, sure.
I'll tip Port. Giants, Hawks. Hawks beat them in Tassie last time.
Yeah, look, I think the Giants will win this.
I'm on the Hawks train.
Ooh.
Until otherwise...
Rock,
until
paper, scissors.
Rock off? All right, done.
Rock, paper, scissors on the pod. First time ever. Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, he's gone scissors.
Yeah, scissors, baby.
Scissors beats paper.
That's
Georgie
done.
Wins. All right.
I think Giants are in good format. Look, so are the Hawks, but I think there is... I keep saying there's a maturity difference, but is there? Hawks are pretty mature.
Well, you've done your rock off now. The scissors have spoken, George.
Yeah. Scissors have spoken, the Giants.
Giants done. All right. Bombers hosting Frio. Frio's going to win. Not even close, I don't think.
I don't want to talk about it.
I think, but if St Kilda's kick-marking their way to a win, imagine what Frio's going to do to Essendon. Are you kidding me? It's over, bro.
Look what they did to Melbourne.
It's over. Frio by 50.
Look, if the Dockers do what they did to Melbourne and win by like 70 points, like, lock your doors in Melbourne.
Oh, man.
Like, anyone living in Essendon or any local site, just lock your doors and just barricade it, man, because it's going to be hell out there.
Yep, 100%. And the last game is St Kilda hosting the Lions at Marvel. I'll go Lions.
Yeah, Lions.
Done.
Imagine if Saints win. Look, I'm not confident about any of these tips. This is probably the hardest round of tipping I've seen.
You know what?
Name your sure bet. Like, what is your sure bet?
All right, let's go. The sure bet is Freo beating Essendon.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, but it's actually at the G, though.
It is, but I just think Freo is just a way better team. And Essendon, that specifically that game style of kick mark that Freo can do, it would just be too much to stop.
Yeah, this is a tough round. So, anyone behind in tipping, this is the one to get right. I don't know if we've helped you at all, but...
Well, we rock off, so... There's no better way to settle disputes than that.
That's it. That's how you do it.
It's a bit about it, man. I know Matt is probably sitting on a beach watching this pod right now. So, Matt, enjoy your coffee.
Enjoy
the sun.
Enjoy. Put on those linen pants.
Oh, yeah.
Find yourself a Greek wife.
That's it.
Actually, this is super random and probably makes no sense, but I was watching the game today, the Collingwood one, yep. I think it was the Collingwood one, and there was a bird that fell in the middle of the screen and just like plonked down on the ground.
What?
And no one...
I missed it.
And it did one of the... You know when a leaf is falling from a tree? It did that, but like...
Which camera did it hit? The one that's like on the wires?
No, it didn't hit the camera. It was... Someone was kicking off the half back line.
Yeah.
And it just went on in the corner of the screen and just went... and like right there. And I was like, what? Did anyone see that? Shit, look at that bird. And then I kept trying to look at the corner of the screen where they were playing to see the bird. And then about 30 seconds later, they went back to it or a minute later and it was gone. But that bird died. Something happened to that bird.
My theory, just upon hearing this for the first time, is that the Olympic event where they do the skeet shooting,
yeah,
they ran out of room in Paris. Yeah. So they've done it in Melbourne at the G. And unfortunately, the bird was hit instead of the clay pot.
Was it an omen though? Oof. It wasn't a magpie, but...
It was a tiger. That the last win? It was a tiger.
And I just thought that was... I've never seen a ball like a... It didn't get hit or injured. It just kind of flopped like it'd just been killed.
Man.
And no one mentioned it. Like, surely that's a BT special like that.
Isn't that what What's Her Name on the boundaries for those expert comments?
Hey guys, just a quick one. There's a bird that's just like collapsed. He's getting CPR at the moment.
Can you give us an update on that bird that's just died? Yeah, can confirm. No heartbeat for the bird.
Yeah, bird's dead.
Anyway. All right, let's call it.
Thanks guys.
Appreciate it. See you later.